glorify you. Father, we are grateful for your word, for your spirit. You are so faithful, and we just give you all the praise and all the glory. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everyone shouted, amen. Hey, before you're seated, go ahead and greet one another in the name of the Lord. God. Well, it sure is good to see everybody here tonight. Yes. Here we are, the last service of 2023. Praise the Lord. It's good to see everybody loving on one another. It's good to see family together. Praise the Lord. Well, good evening, everybody. Hey, glad to be in church here tonight. Yeah, so good to see you. Like I said, the last service of the year. 2023 is behind us. 2024 is going to be the best year yet. Amen. We go to glory to glory. Let's just keep on going higher with the things of God. It's good to see everybody here tonight. We just welcome you to Family Church. Might have a few new faces, a couple new faces with us here tonight. We welcome you. We're so glad that you're here. We know you're not here by coincidence or by accident. You're here because God's got a plan for your life. Amen. He tells us over there in Jeremiah 29:11. He says, I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. The Lord has a plan. He's got a plan for every single one of us. That plan, it begins right here, carries us our entire life. Amen. And so if you're wondering what kind of church Family Church is, we're a Bible-believing church. Amen. We believe in God's word. We believe in God's spirit. We believe that the Lord has a plan for each of us, but he also has a plan for all of us together as a local church body. Amen. If you're here tonight and you're visiting with us, if you wouldn't mind taking a moment to fill out this gray welcome card that's in the seat there with you, please know whenever you give us this information, we don't share it, distribute it. It always stays right here at the church. It's private, and so we do not give it to anybody. Boy, these days, everybody's after our information, right? And so this is not the case here, though. We keep it safe and sound right here at the church. If you'd like to join our text communication service, you can do that right there on the welcome card. Also, we have an email devotional, which is a short teaching that comes out to your inbox every Tuesday afternoon. If you'd like to sign up for that, also, there's a space on the back there for prayer needs and requests. Every time that you submit a prayer request, it gets prayed for, and so avail yourself of that. And for those of you that are visiting, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor here. We're just so grateful for you. We're glad that you're here tonight. The only thing better than having you here tonight would be to have you here every Saturday night at 6 o'clock, right? Amen. So we just love you. We appreciate you. We know that God's got a good plan for your life. And church, whose job is it to make sure that our visiting guests feel warm and welcome? That's our job. Let's welcome those that are visiting here tonight. Amen. Church, don't forget, you've got a ministry. When you see somebody new, you know, go and introduce yourself, get their name, and remember their name, right? Praise the Lord. I tell you what, it means the world to somebody. You know, when you come, when they come back and you remember their name, I'll tell you what, we want to make sure that we're doing that. Well, who's ready for some announcements here tonight? Hey, just remember, here we're at the last service of the year. Of course, we had our big service last week. There is no fellowship refreshments here tonight. It is not going to happen. That's because we had all those Christmas cookies. We got to find somewhere in our New Year's resolutions to cut some calories out, right? And so no fellowship time tonight, but it will be coming right back. Praise the Lord. And so, of course, with the last Saturday of the month being the women's group, we want to make sure that we give our ladies an opportunity to participate you know, in the ladies group. And so those that run the fellowship time, that might be the case on the last Saturdays of the month, so we can have those ladies in women's group. Praise the Lord. And also, it says here on the announcements, it looks a little different this week, Kelly. I noticed it just says marked Saturday, January 13th, so 2 weeks from tonight. Mark it on your calendar for a special date. Go to the Welcome Center for additional information. But we've been announcing what's coming up on January 13th. And so what Kelly is doing this week is she's trying to take the awkwardness out of the announcement, because we know that it's Pastor Appreciation Night that night. But also please know that I have nothing to do with the Pastoral Appreciation Night. I never would ask, you know, staff or volunteers to throw a party for the pastor, you know. So, okay, Kelly, she'll vouch for me. She will absolutely vouch for me. So she's even trying to change the wording up on the announcement sheet so I don't look so self-centered or self-absorbed. Praise the Lord. Also, if you serve in the ministry here, first of all, we greatly appreciate you. And if you could check for your ministry schedules at the welcome counter, that would be a blessing. Everyone say announcements over. Who is ready for tithes and offerings here tonight? Yeah. You know, just at the last moment, I feel led to just go a little bit of a different direction. You know, you don't need to open your Bibles, but you can just look up here. Can we go ahead and find Leviticus? Leviticus. I'm sure we're reading in Leviticus every day of our lives, right? Go to Leviticus and go to chapter 27, which is the last chapter of the book. And go to Leviticus 27 and verse 28. Maybe you've never seen this about the tithe, or maybe you've never been taught this, but this is in the Bible. And someone might say, well, that's the Old Testament, it doesn't apply anymore. Oh no, there's several things that still apply from the Old Testament, right? Amen. You don't get to erase the Old Testament when it carried through. Jesus, of course, told the Pharisees that they should tithe. Hebrews chapter 7 tells us in the New Testament that we are supposed to be tithers. But this shows us just how special and sacred the tithe is. It says this, it says, notwithstanding, no devoted thing. Everyone say devoted thing. Devoted thing. That's an interesting phrase. Notwithstanding, no devoted thing that a man shall devote unto the Lord of all that he has, both of man and beast, and of the field of his possession, shall be sold or redeemed. Every devoted thing is most holy unto the Lord. Now let's keep on going. Now we take note of that statement, the devoted thing. And it says, none devoted which shall be devoted of men shall be redeemed, but shall surely be put to death. Now, what it's talking about there, the word redeemed means that it's something that we don't spend or use on ourselves. And then he says, but it shall surely be put to death to what? To our own uses. So it says, whatever the devoted thing is, when man devotes it to God, it shall not be redeemed, all right? Meaning it should not be spent on themselves, but it should be put to death to their own uses. Look at verse 30. And it says, and all the what of the land? All the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. So notice the tithe is called the devoted thing. And whatever a devoted thing is, we're not supposed to use it on ourselves. Amen. Praise the Lord. And notice the devoted thing is called holy unto the Lord. Folks, this is why we say every week, this is not the oh no part of service. This is the oh yes part of service. Because this is the time where we bring the devoted thing. The tithe, it belongs to the Lord. We are not supposed to use it on ourselves. It's holy to Him. And so we're here to bring it to Him, to present it to Him, all right? The increase of our income, our jobs, and what have you. As we do that, it's very holy or sacred to God. Amen. When we obey God's word, when we when we call it the devoted thing, when we understand how holy and special it is to the Lord, and we take care of it, guess what? God's going to take care of us. Amen? Let's go ahead. Let's pray as we bring the devoted thing to the Lord here tonight. Father God, here we are to present the devoted thing before you. Father, the tithe is holy. It belongs to you. It does not belong to us. And Lord, we're not supposed to redeem it on ourselves. And Father God, we understand that this is sacred to you. Not because, Father, that you need money. Father, not because this money goes up to heaven, but because, Lord, it is needed for the gospel on this earth. And Father, more than anything, it is a reflection of our heart and our devotion to you. That, Father, that we declare that you're our provider in all things. That, Lord, that we know and understand that your house is more important to us than anything else. Father, we love you. We praise you. And, Lord, as we take care of your house, you take care of our house. Father, you are faithful. You are our covenant God. And, Father, it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Brothers, you may serve the people. Let's continue now with our praise and worship. Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. There's just a lot of different ways that we're here to worship the Lord here tonight. Let's go ahead. Let's lift our hands, lift our voices. Hallelujah. Father God, we bless you tonight.
Thank you, Jesus.
We glorify you, Lord God. We glorify you. You're yes, holy Lord. And worthy
you,
of all praise and glory.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, Lord God.
There is love that came for us, humble to a sinner's cross. You broke my shame and sinfulness. You rose again, victorious. Oh, yes, you did. Faithfulness, faithfulness. The storm and through the fire, there is truth that sets me free. It's Jesus Christ who lives in me. And you are stronger, sin is broken, you have saved me. It is written, Christ is risen, Jesus, you are Lord of all. You are my Lord, yes you are. No beginning, no beginning and no end. You're my hope and my defense. You came to see and save the lost. You paid it all upon the cross. Oh, and you are stronger, sin is broken, you have saved me. It is written, Christ is risen, Jesus you are Lord of.
Worship and honor you, Father, Lord of all, King of kings. Oh, we bless you, Father. Come on, lift your voice, magnify him. We worship you. We worship you, Lord.
Blessed is your name, Father. We just worship you here tonight. We glorify you, Father. We are so grateful that we have the name of Jesus that is above every single name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess to the glory of God that Jesus is Lord. Father, you said whether things in this earth, whether things in heaven, whether things that are under the earth, that name reigns supreme. Father, we are so grateful to be called by that name. Father, we just bless you tonight. We glorify you.
Thank you.
Father, we've come to your word. We're going to receive it with joy. Father, we're going to get our help here tonight. We're going to be more like you here tonight. Father, our spirit gets fed with your word. Our mind gets renewed. Our bodies get strengthened. Lord, you said that your words are life and health to those that receive your word. So, Father, we're going to receive your life, your health here tonight. Father, we're going to receive your word, your instructions. Father, what we can do in this life to obey you. And Father, we just rely upon the Holy Ghost, who is the teacher of the church. Father, we know that this is not a spoken word only. Father, we know that this word produces demonstrations. Father, we thank you that your power goes out into our lives and it produces fruit. And Father, we thank you for your power here tonight. We thank you for the strength of your word. We thank you, Lord God, for your presence in this place. And Lord, we rely upon the Spirit of God to unveil and to reveal the scripture to us, that it may be revelation to us. Lord, we're not here for a book report. We're not here for just some pre-canned message. Father, we want the oracles of God. Father, we want to be taught from the word. Lord, we want to hear your voice. So Father, we just give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Maybe we could just bring me down just a little bit in the house. I feel real loud here tonight. And I'll tell you what, we might just get to preaching and we don't want to be blowing out any speakers, right? Amen. Are you ready for the Word of God here tonight? Oh, I'm going to try that again. Are you ready for the Word of God here tonight? Yes, amen. Get excited for the Word. I don't mean get excited for my preaching, but get excited for God's Word, because the measure in which we meet or attend to God's Word, that's the measure that God uses to measure His virtue and power back to us. That's over there found in Mark chapter 4 and verse 24. That's exactly what Jesus said, right? He said, be careful with what measure you hear will be measured back unto you again. Amen. I love how the Amplified says the same measure of virtue and power will come back to you based on how you hear or hear the word of God. Amen. Well, turn with me in your Bibles. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And tonight I'm going to call this message, How to Thrive in 2024. How to Thrive in 2024. And I got to say right off the top that this is not a New Year's resolution message, all right? I'm going to give you a little secret right from the beginning. This is actually how you thrive all the time. All the time. And you say, well, Pastor, you tricked us with that sermon title. It was just clickbait. It was just, you know, you're just trying to market your sermons. No, it'll teach you how to thrive in 2024. Amen. And how many of you know at this time of year, a lot of times we start thinking about making changes in our lives? And how many of you know, I've said this for many years, I'm not a New Year's resolution kind of guy. However, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be making some changes in our lives. And so if we're thinking that way, if more people are thinking that way at this time of year, why don't we just take that and teach from the Bible how to make the right kind of changes? Amen. How to make long-lasting changes in our lives. Amen. Let's make the right changes. Glory to God. And let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This is a scripture that I've taught on many times. And tonight, just giving you a heads up, I'm not going to necessarily give you a clear-cut outline. You know, I know that my style is very teacher-oriented many times, but you're going to have to pay attention, because I'm not going to give you a numbered list or anything like that here tonight. Nor is the purpose, you know, of this message to get overly teachy about spirit, soul, and body. I mean, we're going to definitely talk about it, and you've heard me teach extensively on this passage, but we're not trying to get deep into theology here tonight. That's what I'm trying to say. So go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to go down there to verse 23. Praise the Lord. We love 1 Thessalonians. I'm getting to it. Chapter 5 and verse 23. And, you know, I was taking some time just to read the entire book of 1 Thessalonians. You should read it. It talks a lot about our conduct before God and so on. But here in the closing exhortations of 1 Thessalonians, in chapter 5, Paul the Apostle, he's writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he says this statement, and when he does, he gives us a lot of truth about who we are as human beings and how God made us. And he says this, and I always stop at the first phrase. He says, "In the very God of peace." How many of you know that's who God is to you? He's a God of peace. He's not the God who's angry at you. He's not the God who's mad at you. He's not the punishing God. He's got peace for you. He's got good intentions for us all. But how many of you know we've got to cooperate with that? Yeah. There's the Godward side, which he's telling us right now. He's at peace with us. Yes. Amen. But we've got to do our part. "The very God of peace sanctify you," or "set you apart," is literally what that means. The very God of peace wants to set you apart completely or wholly. All right, notice it's not H-O-L-Y, it's W-H-O-L-L-Y. That means completely. So now he says, "And I pray God that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And you've heard me say this many times. When you think about how God made us, he made us as a three-part being, just like he himself is a three-part being. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are spirit, soul, and body. All right? And so you could say it this way. We are a spiritual being. What does that mean? That means we will exist forever. It's just a matter of where or how. Now, I'll just tell you right off the top, you know, end the suspense. Please make sure that you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior so you can exist forever with God in a place called heaven, because you do not want to exist forever in a place called hell, which is separated from God. And some people say, "Well, that's all right, Pastor. I just don't believe in hell." Well, whether you believe in it or not, whether you vote for it or not, guess what? It is still real. Jesus is not a liar. He talked about hell all the time. He described what it was like. He himself eventually had to go redeem us there. Anyway, that's a whole nother story for another day. But it says, "I pray God that your complete spirit, your soul, and your body be preserved blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And so we are a spiritual being. We'll exist forever. We have a soul, all right, and we live in a body. And just real quickly, I'll kind of give us a little reminder of what these things are. Your spirit is simply this, the most important part of your nature. Your spirit is what God redeemed when you asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. It is the redeemed part of man. It is literally, the Bible calls your spirit the inner man, or the inner man of the heart. Praise the Lord. Your spirit is the part of you that contacts the spiritual realm. Amen. Amen. Let me say that again. It is the inner part of you that contacts the spiritual realm. Or you could say it this way. This is where God talks to you. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I notice we just have, you know, maybe a distraction back here. I just want to make sure everything is all right. Hey, gentlemen, can we go ahead and just shuffle outside, please? Thank you. Yep. Praise the Lord. Everything's all right, folks. Everybody's safe and good. Folks, whenever you attend here, just please know that, you know, I'm always going to be, you know, straightforward or whatever. If we have, you know, a distraction or something, I'm just going to address it. I know when everybody's hearing a distraction, you know, yep. you know, we're going to make sure that it's attended to, and I'm not going to stand up here and pretend like, you know, it's not happening. So, you know, I just want to make sure that you're always completely safe and everything like that. Yep. Let's go. Guys, shuffle out. Ushers. Everybody, everything is just fine. If you're wondering why I don't just continue with the message, folks, it's my job and my responsibility to make sure that, you know, I don't just get distracted and keep going on, you know, when you know, there's an issue and things like that. Folks, you know, it's sometimes, you know, as a pastor, it's not just a matter, you know, of a natural, you know, situation. You know, as I pastor, you know, if somebody, you know, comes in and something seems to be off, right here where our church location is, you know, sometimes we just, we get folks that will come up this sidewalk, and we've had several times where we've had folks that are, you know, under the influence or something like that. Once I'm, you know, aware of that, whether naturally or if I have an indication spiritually, folks, it's my responsibility. I'm going to just lock onto that situation. I'm not going to stand up here and pretend, you know, and act like I haven't noticed, you know, while things are going on. So praise the Lord. And that's why we have the ushers that we have. Amen. And folks, please know this. Anybody, everybody is welcome to come into our church. Anybody and everybody, but not if they're deemed unsafe. No, folks, you know, boy, this is kind of going in a little bit of a different direction. Well, how about we just, you know, we take a minute to talk about this stuff, because, folks, it's so necessary for you to feel that you're completely safe when you attend this church, you know. But, you know, a pastor's role is one of protection. It is one that, you know, I take very seriously and will always act like that is my first and foremost priority. You know, when I see our ushers handling something, I'm not going to just, wait, everybody, you know, look up here and don't be, you know, my goal isn't to just distract you away from an issue. If an issue is, you know, starting to occur, you know that I'm going to address it, and I will give instructions, and I'll handle it. All right? Praise the Lord. And so anybody and everybody is always, of course, welcome to attend this church, but we do not allow anybody to enter into this church if they're under the influence of something. If that's a possibility, if they've deemed themselves to be under the influence of a substance, folks, we will not permit or allow that. All right? Okay? And so if somebody, you know, wants to, you know, indulge in substances and then try to attend, folks, it's going to be difficult to ever minister to somebody, you know, in that situation. All right? So who's ready to get back to the regularly scheduled program? All right. Yep. Hey, gentlemen. I'm sorry. Let's go. Folks, I appreciate this is a situation where, you know, it gets, you know, difficult, you know, as a pastor, where, you know, I have to, you know, make those decisions. If I deem something to be unsafe, you know, when somebody is refusing to talk, when somebody's, you know, refusing to, you know, and I understand you're all looking up here at me, I'm looking back there and seeing the situation. And so you're getting pieces of it. I'm getting, you know, more than just the pieces of it. All right. And so we appreciate our ushers. Our heart is always, always, always anybody and everybody, regardless of what walk of life, whether, you know, young, older, you know, affluent or poor, it does not matter. How many of you know we want to see them come to Christ? we want to see them, you know, helped and things like that. But there's just times when a pastor knows something spiritually and something is not right. And, you know, could I miss it? Yes, I certainly could. But when I have that, I have to move on it. And of course, many of you have been here for many, many years. You have not seen me, make an insistence on that. I'm following what I have right here. I'm going to follow what I have right here. And folks, sometimes, you know, people will say, oh, that's a lack of compassion. It's a lack of love. No, it's not. Because compassion and love will always first seek to keep you safe right here. And the policies that I will ever have as a pastor will always be first and foremost. I don't care. It's not about what somebody looks like. It's not whether, you know, where somebody's from. It's not where, you understand that? It's just when, you know, when something is not right in here, a pastor has got to act on that. And that gift or that office of a pastor, you know, does that for your safety first and foremost. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Folks, I love you. I love every single person, every human being that has breath in this community. I love them with all my heart. We are believing for souls to come out of darkness and into the light. But, you know, we can't just assume, you know, sometimes, again, a pastor has to be allowed to be a pastor. And a pastor will be a protector first and foremost. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, you're ready to get back to this. All right. Glory to God. You know, and I tell you what, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, keep us distracted any longer, but, you know, sometimes there's a lot in ministry that goes on that we're not aware of. And, you know, there's a lot that, you know, I do. There's a lot that our staff will do to always ensure safety. You know, this is why we've had trainings. This is why we've brought people in. Folks, also, too, to let you know, again, my heart is always to be transparent in this church. Always to be transparent. You know, if something's going on, something happens in this church, I'm going to let you know about it. I don't believe God plays, you know, hide and seek with people. I believe God plays show and tell. You know, God wants, you know, transparency, and that keeps us safe. That keeps us alert of what's going on. Amen? Amen. Shall we get back to it? Praise the Lord. Let's just stand up for a moment. Let's stand up. Are you ready to reset? Yes. You ready to reset? Let's just take a moment and just worship the Lord. Father God, we just bless you. We glorify you. Father, you are so faithful. You are so good. We bless you, Lord God. We glorify you, Lord God. Father, we thank you for your word. And Father God, right now with all of our hearts, Lord God, we just praise you. We bless you, Lord God, for your goodness. Glory to you, Lord God. Father, we just take a moment. Lord God, we pray for this individual, Lord, that it's entered our building here tonight. Father God, I know you see our hearts here, that of course our goal is never to exclude anybody with the gospel. But Father, you've entrusted me to those that are standing right now in this sanctuary. And Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy as we do everything we can to always let them know that them and their family will be safe in this church. Father, we just praise you. We glorify you. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we have the opportunity to receive it. And Lord, to be doers of it. And Lord, we just bless you tonight. Father, we pray for this individual that, Lord, that they would not leave this earth until they know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Father God, we just pray that laborers would be on their path. And Lord, when the time is right, when there's not an element of uncertainty or danger, Father, we pray him back into this place. Bless you, Lord God. Bless you, Lord God. Bless you, Lord God. praise you, Father. Father, you are so faithful and good. Blessed is your name. And now, Lord, as you've given a message to this church, Father, we just, right now, we purpose in our heart to receive it. Father God, for us to hear the word of God, to be fed and to be nourished. And so, Lord, we bless you. We glorify you. Thank you, Lord God. 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 Father, you're faithful. You're good. We bless you, Lord God. Blessed is your name. And so, Lord, again, we just thank you for the Holy Ghost who reveals the word to us. We receive it. We believe it. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, let's go ahead. Let's take our seats. And let's just get back into the word. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In verse 23, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray God, your whole spirit, your soul, and your body. Again, now folks, it's time to lock back in. It's time to receive the word of God. I know this is kind of unprecedented here. Do you realize that this weekend actually, it constitutes 8 full years as a church here in Erie? 8 full years. Yeah, we're excited about that. Praise the Lord. And so this is really, because it literally was, it was the last service there at the end of 2015 when we ever had our first service here in the church. Praise the Lord. Spirit, soul, and body. These are the three parts of our nature, the way God has made us. We are a spirit being, we have a soul, and we live in a body. Again, your spirit is the redeemed part of man. The Bible calls it the inner man of the heart. When you get born again, when you get saved, it is your spirit that gets recreated into the image of God. Amen. It is the redeemed part. You could say it this way. Your spirit is the part of your nature that contacts God. God speaks to your spirit. God is not speaking to our flesh. God is not speaking to our minds. He's speaking to our spirit. Amen. Now the word soul here, the word soul, it means your mind, your will, your intellect, and your emotions. Your mind, your will, your intellect, and your emotions. Amen. This part of you is the part that contacts your feelings or the emotional realm, all right? How many of you have ever had emotions before, right? Feelings, all right? Now, we got to remember that your soul, when you get born again, your soul or your mind is not redeemed. Your soul, meaning your mind, if it has stinking thinking before you get saved, how many of you know it can have stinking thinking after you get saved? The Bible says that your mind has to be renewed. Has to be renewed with the word of God. And so we can say it this way. Just like your spirit is the part of your nature that God will talk to, let me say it this way. Your soul can be the part of your nature that Satan attempts to talk to. When Satan tries to get a hold of somebody's life, even a Christian's life, he goes after their mind. He goes after their emotions. He goes after their feelings and their thinking and their thoughts. Now, there's a positive side to your soul. Your soul can respond to, you know, good things that are happening. Your soul can celebrate, you know, when God does something good in your life. How many of you know it's better to feel good than it is to feel bad? But the point we're making here is that you cannot be led by your emotions. Can your emotions tell you that something is good, but it's still not God's plan for your life? Oh yeah, your emotions are very selfish. They only want to feel good. They only like good feelings. And so you can't trust your emotions. You can't trust to think that just the way you're feeling is the way that God wants you to do something. We got to be led with our spirit, not with our feelings. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so then, of course, we know the flesh or the body That is something that is very easy for us to understand. Your body is your flesh that contacts the natural realm, the physical realm, all right? How many of you know your body did not get redeemed when you got saved? Don't you wish that it did, right? Don't you wish some things would change, you know, physically when you get saved? But we know that that doesn't always happen. So we are a spirit. We have a soul. We live in the body. All right. We got to be careful again about the soul, because the soul is the ultimate imposter of our spirit. The soul will only think about itself. It'll only desire sympathy over correction or good feelings over direction. You don't want to confuse the two. And that's why the scripture tells us over there in Hebrews chapter 4, you know, in verse 12, that the word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, right? Because the soul needs to be divided from the spirit, because the soul will try to act like the spirit and make you, you know, do things that you know you shouldn't do. All right, so again, our feelings and our emotions, they will desire sympathy over correction and good feelings over direction. Amen. All right. So, and of course, our flesh, we know this, our flesh is what contacts the physical realm, and our flesh still has the unredeemed nature of man living in it. How many of you know the Bible tells us that? How many of you know the scripture tells us that within our flesh is the desires of unredeemed man? And so we can't trust the flesh, because in our flesh is always lurking the desire to disobey God. Has anyone ever faced that before? Ever dealt with the flesh? The Bible says if we sow into our flesh, we're going to reap destruction or corruption, right? Absolutely. So we got to be careful. But let's ask ourselves this question. The typical New Year's resolution, though, what is it typically about? Oh, like, what do you think the number one? Oh, I'm already hearing people. What do you think the number one New Year's resolution is? Lose weight. That's what I have on my list here. The number one, you know, New Year's resolution. Lose weight. Get in shape. Eat better. Take care of myself, right? Anybody that has any thoughts like that going on right now, I know I do. Praise the Lord. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? Amen. Glory to God. You know, the typical New Year's resolution, lose weight, get in shape, eat better, exercise, take better care of yourself. Maybe we'll even go a little bit further and say maybe a little, you know, less social media. Maybe we'll say less TV. You know, maybe we'll even go even further and get real spiritual and say, maybe we'll read our Bibles more. Maybe we'll pray some more, right? That would be the spiritual side, right? Amen. But what is, you know, think about New Year's resolutions. And we start saying, you know, the first ones that people start thinking about are losing weight, getting in shape, exercising. Notice that most New Year's resolutions start with the flesh. They are more concerned about our third part of our nature than they are the first part of our nature. And again, nothing wrong with wanting to take care of yourself or, you know, eat better and things like that, right? But most resolutions are starting with the flesh. Maybe some will go a little bit further and think about taking care of the soul a little better. Maybe with a little less media, less, you know, TV, less social media, less internet, right? Maybe you prevent yourself from feeding your mind all that stuff all the time. Okay, that'd be great. And then even some people more will go in and say, well, I'm going to, you know, read my Bible more, and I'm going to feed my spirit more, and I'm going to, you know, pray more and things like that. But what is the most common fact about all New Year's resolutions? They fail. They fail. All right. Somebody just, you know, I saw Heather right over there. She said it immediately. The number one fact about New Year's resolutions is they fail. They fail. Or you could say it this way, why do most people's honest and sincere attempts at changing their lives, why do they so often fail? Well, I'm going to give you the answer to that question. The reason why New Year's resolutions or just changes in general often fail is because people get it backwards. People put the flesh in front of the spirit. When the flesh is the least of our nature, the spirit is the most important part of our nature. If you get that order reversed, I'll tell you what, there's going to be no lasting impact or no lasting change until you first put your spirit in front of your soul and your flesh. Amen? All right. That's absolutely right. Notice in verse 23, they're not just written in the order of importance, spirit, soul, and body. They're also written in the order of operations. Within the order of operations. Meaning, if your spirit isn't first and foremost taken care of, your soul and your flesh won't be right as well. All right? Because whatever happens to your spirit is going to affect your soul or your mind. And whatever affects your mind is also going to affect your body. All right? Let's think about this a little bit further. Again, let's talk about your spirit. Brother, can you bring up Proverbs 20:27? You don't need to turn there, but just for the sake of time, look at what the scripture says about the spirit of man. It says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. All right, notice this, that the candle of the Lord is your spirit. Meaning, when God speaks to you, He's searching right here in the inward parts or the center of your being. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me give you some more ideas about what your spirit is. Your spirit is your power supply. Meaning everything else in life is going to come out of your spirit one way or another. Your spirit is your power supply. You could say it this way. It's like a nuclear reactor right here in the center of your being, producing power. You could say it this way. Your spirit is like a furnace on the inside. It's like where the light of God resides. Amen. You know, think about a furnace, right? It's burning. It's producing heat. It's producing power. Amen. You could say it this way. In your spirit is like your spiritual metabolism. Your spiritual metabolism. You know, if anything's going to get right in your life, if anything's going to get broken off of your life, if the wrong things are going to need to get pushed out, if the right things are going to be brought in, it's all going to be right there in your spirit. It's kind of like this. You know, again, I'm by no means an expert in weight loss, but you know what? They tell us that if you want to start losing weight, one of the best ways you can do that is actually to work out the largest muscle groups in your body. Like you work out in your legs or your arms or your chest or whatever. You start to do some workouts there, and what it does is it ignites your metabolism. When your muscles, you know, need to recover, they start burning. They turn into a furnace in your body and start burning up calories and so on. Well, the spirit of man works very similar. You know, when you want to get things out of your life that do not belong, you need to ignite the candle of your spirit and get into the power, get that burning hot in your belly. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's your power supply. It is your metabolism. It's your nuclear reactor. It is the resilient light. It's like this. Your spirit is also, for the lack of a better term, it's like your crystal ball. You know, I'm not trying to, illustrate something of superstition with God, but because we know and understand a crystal ball, people think, will allow somebody to do what? See the future. you know? Well, do you realize we don't need any crystal ball by some magician or whoever? The Bible says that we've got the Spirit of God living in our spirit that will show us things to come, will enlighten us and teach us and show us the way. I'll tell you what, it's like that. You've got your seer. You've got vision on the inside of your spirit. You have the ability to see God's direction. You have the ability to hear God's correction in His voice. Amen. Your spirit is the eyes of your faith. It is the core of your consciousness. The core of your consciousness. Amen. Right here in your spirit, you won't see all things pertaining to the future, but God will show you some things pertaining to your future. He will show you what course to take, what course not to take. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. You could say it this way. Your spirit is the God compass on the inside of you. Folks, listen to this. Everything you are ever going to have, spiritually, materially, physically, financially, anything in your life is going to ultimately come from your spirit and what dwells in your spirit. Every direction you will travel will spring from your spirit. Every course that God has for you will be downloaded into your spirit. If we're walking with God, if we are following Him and being obedient, I'll tell you what, it'll all be right there in our spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Your soul. Now, here's why this is in the order of operations. Can you bring up 1 Thessalonians 5:23 again? Praise the Lord. This is why the scripture labels it spirit, soul, and body. Not only is that the order of importance, but that's the order of operation. Whatever's in your spirit is going to enlighten your mind or your soul. If your spirit remains empty, if your spirit is neglected, there will be nothing to enlighten your mind God's way. And then your soul will gain control. It will allow the body to do whatever the body wants to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. Your soul or your mind will be enlightened by your spirit. Your soul can only be enlightened as much as your spirit is fed. Your soul is constantly trying to be the imposter of your spirit. See, your soul is always trying to interject with its voice. Yeah, do you know what the voice of your soul is? It's your emotions. It's your feelings. Oh, praise the Lord. I can tell some of that is happening even right now here tonight. You know, all of a sudden we start to listen to our feelings. We start listening to our emotions. And next thing you know, it's an imposter for our spirit. There's nothing wrong with having emotions and feelings. But you got to be careful. You got to know the difference between what God is saying to your spirit and what you're feeling in your emotions. Amen. And see, that's why we say the order of operations, because if your spirit isn't right, your soul isn't going to be right. And if your soul isn't right, your body's not going to be right, meaning your body will not be controlled. Your body will want to do things it shouldn't do. Oh, boy. But your soul or your mind will be enlightened by what's in your spirit. Your soul can only be enlightened as much as your spirit is fed. Your soul is constantly trying to be that imposter, trying to interject its voice, which is feelings and emotions. And now, if that happens, your flesh will run amok. So we know this. If your soul is not enlightened, your flesh will do whatever it wants to do. The reason why so many Christians give in to their flesh is because they are first a pushover in their minds. They're pushovers in their minds. See, if you have a strong spirit and if you have a renewed mind, you'll be able to control everything the flesh wants to do. Have you ever been there before? Your flesh want to do things that it shouldn't do? You know, what if you're just a pushover? What if you never learn to discipline your flesh or tell your flesh no? That's what happens in the lives of some believers when they never fed their spirit. Their minds are therefore weak and never enlightened, and now their body is never disciplined or told no. Folks, this is how you get free from addictions. Folks, this is how I got free from drinking. This is how I got free from smoking. This is how you get free from swearing. This is how you get free from anything that was an addiction in your life, is when you get enlightened in your mind enough to know to put up a fight with your flesh. Amen. But if your mind is just a pushover and the flesh is allowed to do whatever it wants to do, it's going to choose every rotten thing that God is against. Oh, think about it. So we can't start with our flesh. We'll fail. We can't start by just trying to make changes in our soul. We'll fail. All right. This is why New Year's resolutions, they often fail. They start with the flesh or they start with the mind. If you try to just change your flesh, it'll fail. If you try to just change your soul, it'll fail. Folks, and I'll even go one step further. If you say this, oh, okay. All right, so I'm not going to start with my flesh. I'm not going to start with my soul. All right, then I'll start with my spirit. Okay, Lord, I promise in 2024, I'm going to spend more time reading my Bible. I'm going to spend more time in prayer. Be careful with that. I'm going to say something that's going to shock you. My resolution would never, ever be to spend more time doing anything. Listen, before you really get mad at me, all right, why do Christians always think that more time doing something fixes the problem? It doesn't. Why? Because what if you're praying wrong? You can spend all the time in the world praying wrong. It's not going to help you. All right? You know, if you're praying wrong or you're thinking wrong, it isn't going to do any good for you. People say, well, if I spend more time reading my Bible, it's going to fix your problems. No. Time, think about it. Why are we valuing time so much for a God who does not live in it? God does not live in time. He is eternal. God is not up there counting how many minutes you pray. He is not counting how many minutes you read your Bible. Now, the fact of the matter, it just so happens that prayer for us takes time. It just so happens reading our Bible takes time. But if your goal is time, it's going to fail. God is not impressed with time. God has never been impressed with time. He's impressed. We're going to talk about this. Here we go. Praise the Lord. We can't imagine the idea. See, we live in time. We can't imagine not being affected by time. God is not up there counting seconds and days and say, okay, how much did they pray today? Okay, that's enough. God doesn't say that. He's not after time. He's after fellowship. He's after effectiveness. Amen. Praise the Lord. Some effective prayer is going to take longer than others. You know what? And sometimes to meditate in God's word is going to take longer than others. But I'm here to tell you, if time is just a measure of our flesh and of our mind, and if you make time your goal, you're going to fail. You're going to fail. So now we're going to look at, what do we have to do here? So how do we make sure that changes last and truly make an impact? What do we got to make sure? We got to make sure that our spirit is not empty. Go to Matthew chapter 12. Go to Matthew chapter 12. Glory to God. Go to Matthew chapter 12. Hallelujah. Look what Jesus said over here in Matthew 12, and look at verse 43. Look what Jesus said. Oh, everybody get a hold of this. The reason why so many changes never occur in people's lives, the reason why people feel like they fail or nothing impactful or long-lasting ever happens, is because we don't realize it. We allow our spirit to run on empty. If our spirit is empty, there's nothing that God can do for us. Watch this. Matthew 12, 43. Jesus speaking. He says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walks through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. Look at this. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, He walks through dry places. Now, it's not talking about the man walking through dry places. It's talking about what? The spirit. Meaning, this is now an unclean spirit, which is a demonic spirit. So, when a demonic spirit leaves somebody. Now, how can we go through this? Boy, this is a lot of theology. I got to make sure to just, you know, stick to it here. But many times, especially unbelievers, they have unclean spirits. Absolutely. We don't realize, you know, what's always going on in the spiritual realm. You know, this could be at someone's salvation or when someone got delivered. But regardless, it says an unclean spirit who is influencing that person. See, we don't understand all the influences of the spiritual realm. All right. But when he's gone out of a man, he walks through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Look at this in verse 44. Jesus said, then this demon will say, I will return into my house from where I came out. And when the devil is come, when he has returned, he finds it what? Empty, swept, and garnished. That almost sounds like a good thing. It almost sounds like, well, someone tidied up the place. No. The one, when it says this, this demon says, I will return into my house from where I came out. He's talking about the man that he left. When the unclean spirit left that man, he went out seeking rest and couldn't find any. And so that demonic spirit says, I'm going to go back to that guy and see if he'll let me back into his life. Folks, no matter who we are, things that we've gotten out of our lives will try to come back. You know, whether they're addictions to alcohol, addictions to pornography, whatever it is. Maybe wrong speaking, temptations, you name it, addictions. When that thing will leave your life, it'll constantly come back to check up on the place because it wants to go back and it wants to be comfortable again. And so when this demon comes back to the guy that he left, here this man was delivered from that spirit. But that devil is going to come back and test that deliverance. He's going to test your freedom from him. And in this case, he finds it what? Empty, swept, and garnished. That's not a good thing. That's a very bad thing. When that unclean spirit left, he was going to come back. And what he should have found is it filled with something else. See, he found an empty house. He should have found it filled with the Spirit of God. Should have found the Word of God there. All right, and we're going to talk about it specifically, verse 45. Jesus says, then goes this spirit, and he takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell in that man. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also to this wicked generation. They get delivered. They step away from demonic things. But that temptation, that devil comes right back. And when he finds that house or that person completely empty, there should have been something in that dwelling, in that person, when that demonic presence showed back up. Yes. Folks, here it is. I'm going to cut right to the chase. What do you need to thrive in 2024? What does the devil need to find when he returns, right? He needs to find God's will. God's will. Wow, here we go. Oh boy, here we go. Here is the one thing in your spirit, the one and first thing that will guide the rest of your life. When I say rest of your life, I don't just mean your time until you go to heaven, but I mean every area, everything in your life. Here we go. The will of God. Before you pray, before you do anything else, before you seek the promises of God, before you ask God for anything, the number one thing that all of us should seek above all other things is God's will. God's will. Are you here tonight? If that devil would have come back and found God's will in that man, God's will would have told that man that that devil didn't belong there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Here's the one thing that guides the rest. God's will and displaying itself in revelation knowledge. Folks, again, you can pray all day long, but if you don't pray according to God's will, what happens? Nothing. You can try to know God, but you'll never know Him until you first have His will. You could pray 10 hours a day, and guess what? It would do nothing for you if you didn't know His will. You could cry out all day wondering, you know, if God will heal your body, if God will restore your marriage. But guess what? We've all got to fill our spirit with the will of God. So many Christians, folks, are you ready for this? So many Christians never see an impactful change in their life because they don't fill their spirit with God's will. Are you listening? Oh boy. Revelation knowledge is simply this: when the will of God becomes your highest purpose in this life. The will of God becomes your highest purpose. Folks, revelation knowledge, faith in the things of God, is basically when you find out what God's will is and you fight with it. Yes. Amen. Listen, all I need to know is what God's will is, God's desire is, God's purpose for me, and then I can take that and I can run with it. I can obey it. Yep. Folks, knowing the will of God is what tells you in your life what things should stay or what things should go. Yes. Is it the will of God for Christians to drink and get drunk? No, it is not God's will. Is it God's will for Christians to live in bondage, to worry in fear? No. Is it God's will for us to live in peace and joy? Yes. Is it God's will for God's people to be, you know, broke and impoverished and desperate all the time? No. Is it God's will? Does God desire His children to, you know, be diseased and broken down? No. God has a plan. God has a desire. And when we know His desire, we can take and we can believe that desire. Knowing the will of God tells us what things should stay in our life and what things are out of place that don't belong. Let's talk about a few things here before we wrap this up. Do you know God's will for your life concerning fear? Right? 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Is it God's desire for you to live in worry and fear? No. So if there's worry and fear in your life, when the will of God is in your spirit, you identify it and you say, that's out of place. That doesn't belong. That has got to go. Amen. Praise the Lord. If there's fear that is constantly, you know, dragging you down, you should be able to, when the will of God is full in your spirit, you'll say, wait a minute, that doesn't belong here. Wait a minute, that fear is not mine. In Jesus' name, I take authority over that fear. It's got to go. Yeah. Amen. What about, you know, not having enough? What about living in desperation and poverty and being broken down, you know, financially? Is that God's will for God's people? No, it's not. But along the way, do we at times go through trials and troubles? Yes, we do. It's like this. Folks, how many of you remember that big ship back there made in 1912? Its name was the Titanic. There we go. All right. What did they say about the Titanic? That it was unsinkable. Dumb thing to say. All right. Anything made out of steel can sink to the bottom, right? All right. But why did they say that the Titanic was unsinkable? Well, remember, because it had all those watertight compartments, they thought, and there's no way water would ever get so high in that boat that it would flood it, so therefore we'll call it unsinkable. It had watertight bulkheads, which is just a fancy way of saying a wall on a boat, all right? And remember the side view of the Titanic, and it had those five bulkheads that went up halfway up the ship? Do you know that ship would have been unsinkable if they would have built those walls all the way to the top? Yeah. But they didn't. They said, that's high enough, so we'll stop there. But they hit that iceberg, and all those compartments all got holes in them. And of course, water flooded in, and it sunk that ship. But do you know that if Titanic would have just hit that iceberg straight on, it would have only filled a couple of those compartments, and that ship would have stayed on top of the water? Folks, it's like this. When you know God's will, it doesn't prevent you from being attacked. It doesn't prevent you from going through all trials. But when you are filled with God's will, you might take some hits. You might, spring a leak. You know what I mean? You might take on some water. Things might feel like they're starting to sink. But when the will of God is dwelling on the inside of you, that will not allow you to sink. Remember Jesus in Mark chapter 4 on the back of that boat? Remember they were going through the hurricane, but the ship was already half full of water, and Jesus was sitting there and sleeping on the back of that boat? How many of you remember that? Notice Jesus was sleeping when everyone else was concerned about dying. He knew God's plan, God's will was not for him to drown on that boat. God's will was for him to go to that cross. So as long as he was in God's will, he knew that was not his time. Folks, when you have the will of God dwelling on the inside of you, you're going to take shots. You're going to go through some hardships. But this one thing you should always know, as long as you know God's will, it's not going to sink you. The word dwelling in your heart is like watertight bulkheads. It doesn't prevent you from always hitting into things that are hard or rough, but it'll prevent you from sinking. See, when you know Jesus knew on the back of that boat, remember they came running up to him? They said, Master, Master, the ship is half full. Don't you care that we perish? Jesus was sleeping. He was not afraid because he knew what God's will was. Folks, it is like that. We need to make sure that we're filled with God's will. So when the devil knocks on our door with fear, you'll know. The will of God living on the inside, you'll say, no, that's out of place. That doesn't belong on me. Or when sickness attacks or disease attacks, you'll say, no, that doesn't belong to me in Jesus' name. When that fear, that worry or poverty or, financial ruin or whatever it is tries to knock on our life, we need to know ahead of time if God's will is dwelling in our spirit. You'll say this, that thing won't sink me. That thing is not going to kill me. Folks, if you're going to thrive in 2024, get just downright obsessed with knowing God's will for these areas in your life. Let's just mention a few others here before we wrap it up. You know God's will for fear. Let me ask you this. Do you know God's will for your marriage? Can't you go through the Bible and compile marriage scriptures and learn what God's will is? Get feeding on that. Fill your spirit with what God's will is so that when something comes into your life that's out of place, I already know. Folks, that will of God on the inside. Over these years, has the devil tried to come to me and try to tempt me with other things? Yes, he has. The devil has shown me pictures of things that I would be doing, things that I would even enjoy. Things that if I left ministry, I could do this, I could do that, I could do this, I could make money and do all these things. The devil has shown me that so many times. But what keeps me from going that way? I've got the will of God burning in my heart. It's like a bright light. It's a furnace. It's like a nuclear reactor. It's like that crystal ball in there. Listen, I don't care what the devil shows me. I know too much on the inside to turn away from it. You know what I mean? I mean, I still could make that mistake. Don't get me wrong. But it's alive and well, and it speaks to me all day, every day. When the devil knocks, on my kid's life and tries to put something in their life that could harm them, I know immediately that doesn't belong there. That's out of place. Imagine if someone broke into your home and you'd walk in to your house. The first thing you would notice is everything is out of place. It shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't look like that. when the will of God burns, brightly on the inside of your spirit, you'll know what belongs. See, the Bible says when we pray, we're supposed to pray according to God's will. See, so many people try to pray to get God's will. We're supposed to have God's will. Amen. And yes, sometimes it may take longer to pray some things out. Sometimes it'll take less. Sometimes it'll take longer to find out what God's will is on a topic in your life. Sometimes it'll take less. Stop thinking that God is timing you. The goal is to make sure that our spirit is not empty when those things show up on our door. Amen. The first and foremost thing that man's spirit was designed to carry is the will of God. The will of God on the inside. Folks, it's difficult. My goodness, even, tonight, what an example. There's things and decisions at times that seem so difficult. There might be things in your marriage that seem difficult or decisions that you have to make. But you know what? When you get convinced of God's will on the inside, you'll make those decisions. Amen. When you listen to your spirit, what God is speaking on the inside. Do you know God's will for your kids? If you don't know what the Bible says about your kids, then you don't know God's will for your kids. Well, you say, I'll just think the best. You can't just think the best. You got to dig in. You got to get God's will filling in your spirit. What's God's will for your body and your health? What's God's will for your words that you speak? What's God's will for your wisdom and your peace and your joy? Amen. Folks, long-term impactful change does not come from a New Year's resolution. New Year's resolutions are all going to fail, especially if we just, try to amend the flesh. Folks, I get it. I'm on a quest to lose some weight myself. But should we try to lose the weight for the weight's sake? Or we know that the will of God is that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. Think about what God's, will is for your mind. Your mind is to be the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Filled and renewed and restored. Glory to God. Folks, long-term impactful change will not come from a resolution. It'll come from a spirit that is full of knowledge and instruction in God's will. You cannot pray to get this knowledge. It does not come through prayer. It comes through the word. And then prayer is to come out of what we know. It's so much easier to pray when you know God's will. It's so much easier to face any situation when you know what God's will is in that. When I've been attacked in my body and I learned that it was God's will, I take His will and desire for me. And it just helps me to go before Him and say, Father, Your desire is that I'm whole and healthy and strong. When, when the attacks have come upon my children, I will go and it's simply, Father, I know Your will for them. Father, You said that my children would be mighty seed upon the earth. You said the generation of the upright is blessed. Father, You said in my children's house would be wealth and riches and their righteousness will endure forever. Do you know that's a scripture about your kids? You said that my kids would all be taught of the Lord and great is their peace. Yes. Lord, You said no weapon formed against them will prosper. And every tongue that rises in judgment against them, I would condemn. Folks, what if we don't know this stuff? What if our spirit is empty when that devil's going to knock on your door? Is he going to find God's will shining bright on the inside of your spirit? Or is he going to find an empty spirit, a mind that is weak, and of course, flesh that will do whatever it wants to do? Folks, if you want to thrive in 2024, find out what God's will is in all of these areas. Amen. Did you get some help out of this here tonight? Praise the Lord, God's will. Say, Pastor, what is God's will? What is God's will? That's why we have to be students. We have to be students. We have to be students. Let's go ahead and let's pray. Father God, we just praise You tonight. We glorify You tonight. Father, You are so faithful and good. We thank You for Your goodness. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your graciousness, your mercy upon us. Father, of course, at this time of year, many of us, if not all of us, we start thinking about making changes. And Lord, that's a good thing. You said that if we judge ourselves, we wouldn't be judged. Father, we just bless you. We glorify you. Father, thank you that your will is done in our lives. First and foremost, before we go and do anything, before we seek you, before, you know, we just try to claim your promises or pray for things that we desire, we need to receive your will. Lord, we need to get into the scripture. Find out what your will is for all these things. Thank you, Lord God. And once we are armed in our spirit with your will and desire for our lives, Lord, we can claim those things. We can believe those things. We can cast down thoughts with your will. Father, we'll be able to see what things are out of place in our life and what things can stay. Lord, you are so faithful and good. So faithful and good. Thank you, Lord. With all eyes closed, every head bowed before we dismiss, have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Have you personally invited Jesus into your heart? If you're here and you'd say, Pastor, I don't know. Well, let me ask you this question. If today was your last day on this earth, would you be in heaven with the Lord? Or would you be separated from him in a place called hell? If you're here tonight and you say, Pastor, I don't know the answer to that question. Well, don't leave tonight until you get that answer solid in your heart. The scripture says in Romans 10:9 that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you're here and you are uncertain about your salvation, don't leave here tonight until you're sure. If you're here tonight, you say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to bring you down front. I'm not going to walk up to you or anything like that. Eyes are closed and heads are bowed. And if that's you here tonight and you say, Pastor, I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I'm simply going to ask you to lift your hand. Once I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. And then once I've seen your hand, I've had you put it right back down, I'll lead this entire congregation in a prayer, and right there in your seat, you can invite Jesus into your heart. But if that's you, if you say, Pastor, I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I've never accepted him before, and tonight's the night that I want to do that. If that's you, could you go ahead and lift your hand now, please? Is there anyone here in the sound of my voice? I see that hand, you can put it down. God loves you. Is there anybody else that you'd say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Well, praise God, we did have a hand. And so I'm going to lead us all in this prayer. If you lifted your hand, pray this prayer right with us. Everyone's going to be praying with you. Speak these words out of your mouth. Mean it with all of your heart, and God will hear you. Let's all pray this together. Let's all pray this. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Did you get some help here tonight? Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. Let's go ahead. Just give the Lord all the praise and glory. Father God, we just bless you. We praise you. Father, you are faithful and you are good. Lord, we thank you for 2023. And now, Lord, we look forward to 2024. We're going to be filled with your will. Lord God, that will keep us moving in the right direction. Your will always inspire us to make changes. Father, it is the first and foremost will that you have for us, that we know what you want for us. Father, it is your will that we praise you. It is your will that we obey your word. It is your will that we're filled with your peace and joy. Father, I pray for every home, every family, every individual here tonight, that Lord, that your will would just have free course in every heart, every life, every home. And then Father, once we have your will, we have the revelation. Father, we have faith. Father, we know that faith always begins by knowing what you want for us. And Father God, we'll just give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.